This episode is brought to you by Stay Roasted, the ultimate fresh roasted coffee subscription. Get your first bag of coffee for free. You only pay the shipping when you visit stayroasted.com/GFQ. That's stayroasted.com/GFQ. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, and I am not feeling well at all. You can kind of hear it in my voice. But with me, as always, is Dr. Feelgood, Rich Stamboli.
Oh, Dr. Feelgood.
How are you doing?
I'm going to make you feel all right.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you.
Nice
I appreciate
color on your
that.
Face yeah. today. Hey,
I do have
a beautiful color.
Nice and rosy
cheeks. Nice and rosy. Yeah, what's
I like
going
it.
On?
Nothing, man. Just
nice
getting
color.
Ready for the Christmas.
Yeah.
Getting ready to play some video games and spend time with a lot of family. All my family is in Queens.
Everybody.
Most of it. Yeah. Like my in-laws and my immediate family, they're all like here. So we have to do the rounds. We got to see everybody. We're not getting anybody anything this year.
Good for you.
We're getting the baby stuff.
Good
like
for you.
My
did you say from the I'm not doing a gift exchange?
From the get-go, I was like, we're not getting anybody this year except my nephew and my niece.
Good.
And
done.
That's it. That's Nobody's getting jack shit.
You know what? Next year, there is our friend Bob told me about this app. It's called Elfster.
Uh-huh.
And you could list all the family members that are going to participate in like in a Secret Santa.
Okay.
So instead of like if you have a family like me that has like 30 people at Christmas, it gets terrible to buy gifts. So what you do is you draw, it automatically creates who buys who a gift.
Yeah.
So everybody downloads the app. You go in the family and then it tells you who you're buying your gift for.
Mm-hmm.
And then what the limit is. Everybody sets the limit, you know.
That's cool.
Like $50, $25, whatever. I will do that next year.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's too complicated.
It's a lot.
Nobody needs like 500 shitty gifts. You know what I mean?
No, but you know what? It's cool. It's great. You know, you have family around and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm 100%. Like the one person I feel bad though, my brother always gets me something really good.
So maybe you should get him
and
something.
This year,
on the side.
I'm
Give
just
him
like,
something on the side. Maybe just take him out to lunch, you know? Get him a beer.
That's true.
That's always a good gift.
A couple of times ago, I took him out to press. We went to the rooftop on Bourbon.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
Did I come with you?
No.
I did not come
You
with
were
you.
At press, though.
I was at press.
I don't know if you remember that. That's when you told us that you were having baby number two.
Yes. I am having baby number two, by the way, guys. I don't know if I mentioned it on the air. I don't think people are like, you're having another kid? I'm like, yeah.
You did mention it. Yeah.
People are surprised. Guys, we have a lot to talk about. There was a pay-per-view. SmackDown was, I really enjoyed SmackDown this week. I did not really care for Raw this week, but ratings were up. We're getting closer to New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
2017, Royal Rumble. A lot is going on. Next week, you know what? I think Harry Tarjanian's coming in.
Beautiful. I like Harry.
We're going to do a year in review.
Cool. I'm going to get drunk and harass Harry again.
Oh, you should do that. That was the best. Guys, before we continue, I want to thank our sponsor, and that's Stay Roasted. I love coffee. Rich loves coffee. Are you drinking coffee right
drinking
now?
Coffee
you are.
Right
what, are you, what kind of coffee are you drinking?
I can't tell you, honestly.
Okay. It's because you don't want to mention it because we got a live read, or you just don't know what it was?
I forgot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. For most of us, including myself, top quality coffee is not a luxury. It's a necessity. Nobody wants to drink crappy coffee. And I have to tell you, majority of people walking around today are drinking crappy coffee. They don't know what good coffee is until they try something like StayRoasted.com. What they do, Stay Roasted delivers you 100% specialty grade coffee beans, hand selected to your taste and delivered fresh. For example, I'm getting one today. I'm getting two bags of coffee today. It's simple. You set some basic preferences and you let the roasters handle the rest. That's right. It's your roasters. Stay Roasted lets you pick from over a dozen of America's top craft coffee roasters for your personal roaster lineup. Whether you like a dark roast, a medium roast, a light roast, they have it for you. You could select it. You could select decaf. It's amazing. And plans start at only 60 cents per cup. And there's no commitment. Here's a great offer for you guys. And it's the holiday season. You could buy someone this for the holiday season as a great gift. Try it yourself. Visit stayroasted.com/GFQ. Get your first bag of coffee for free. You only pay the shipping. And 15% off any additional bag. That's stayroasted.com/GFQ. They also have gift cards available. I want to thank Stay Roasted for supporting the show and, of course, supporting the GFQ network. Where do you want to begin?
Let's talk about the pay-per-view.
Roadblock, end of the line.
Since we didn't do the post-show because we were both old men.
Dude, no, I was so hammered.
The other day, we were both tired and just cranky and old.
Yeah. I was not feeling well.
Yeah, so Roadblock, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a strong, I would say B+ show.
But you know what? It was a decent Raw. I did not. I had a very different outlook on the show.
Why?
I really have to stop getting too loaded during these pay per views because my perception totally changes and I get very angry. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, is it over yet? Like that's all I could think of because I was so tired. So
you're the opposite of me. Like, I feel like if I'm drinking, I'm watching a pay per view.
Oh, you're like,
it'll enhance. No.
I go to bed. I go to freaking bed.
Yeah.
I did not necessarily think it was that great. It wasn't terrible. People crapped on that Sasha match with Charlotte. I thought it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it.
That was great.
I do think that the ending was a little weird with that tapping at the last second.
Yeah.
What I would have done, I would have let it go. I would have let her pass out.
Right.
And the ref rang the bell saying that she passed out. She got the point that. So apparently, Vince was really adamant and thought this was a great finish that she taps at the final second.
It's like vaudeville.
And everybody told him, do not do this finish because it doesn't make sense. Why would she? It looks too planned.
The audience isn't the same as it used to be.
Yeah, so
you could do this. You could do this 1985.
Yeah, do like an MMA finish. You know, have the guy pass out from the pain, and the ref rings the bell and says she passed out. Her shoulders were down.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, and she gets the point, and they tie. And now you're dealing with a damaged Sasha that just passed out to continue the match.
That would have been smart,
and it would have been an easy explanation as to how Charlotte beat her.
Let's give him the old razzmatazz.
Yeah.
Have her tap when there's 2 seconds left.
It was like, I didn't care for that, but I do think they worked so hard, those two girls.
Mm-hmm.
So hard. So much credit to them. Because they have really, they work really well together. Really, really well together. Now the next program is Nia Jax and Sasha Banks.
Sure.
And Charlotte and Bayley. Mm-hmm. They have to have Bayley win the title at WrestleMania.
Yes.
I'm fearing that they are not going to do that.
100%. Why would you fear that, though?
I think there's a whole thing within that company where Charlotte, they're really, I mean, at this rate, Ric Flair would have been like a 240-time world champion if they kept up the rate that she's won the title 4 times in a year.
Well, did you see?
It's amazing.
Did you see that WWE deleted Big E's comment?
Yeah.
On
Raw.
On Charlotte beating the record.
What did he say exactly? I don't remember.
He said, at this rate, she'll be 16-time champ like within the year or something.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of the comment.
Why? Just leave it. What's
a great comment, man. But I feel like that, you know, obviously corporate is just like, oh, this guy's got a problem with the booking, you know?
Yeah.
Cesaro and Sheamus.
Tag team champions. Nice belts.
Those
new belts.
Do you like them?
Yeah. I don't mind them.
Yeah.
I fear that the world title is going to go blue now.
You mean red?
No, the world title is going to go blue.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I fear. I asked somebody and they said, no, I don't think so. But, you know, we don't know until like the day that it happens.
But yes.
So, like stuff like that never comes down the line until it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they match. The titles all match up. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I really like the Sheamus and Cesaro tag team.
Want to go through the card?
Yeah, let's go through the card.
Cool. All right. So your pre-show is Rusev beat Big Cass by countout. I like the match. I thought that ending was great. Great ending.
You know what? I missed that. I missed the ending. What happened? I totally forgot.
Rusev beat Big Cass with a countout.
Oh, it was like
a distracted countout.
Yeah, it was a distraction.
Which was good because, like, you know what? That was the perfect way to end that because they're both big dudes. You don't want to give that ending away. You know, there's still that, like, that's the real feud right there. It's not so much Enzo, you know, trying to mess with Lana. It's essentially like, how do we get Big Cass to fight another established big dude? Like it or not, like, Rusev is established. Rusev is not going anywhere. Sometimes he needs to be elevated on the card, but he's a really good utility player that they can put him anywhere. and his character has never lost any bit of shine. You know, like, he's a funny dude also.
Yeah.
And I think his personality definitely makes up for, like, his placement on the card. You know, he's got the best valet in his wife.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and it's,
she's
it's a natural. I mean, the chemistry, actually. You know, sometimes you see that happen. Like, the Miz and Maurice, great chemistry.
Absolutely.
Together, right? Lana and Rusev, gay chemistry.
Gay.
they're great together. Mm-hmm. I do like the storyline. I do like that this is putting heat. People are losing their minds over this storyline.
Which is
friggin'
unbelievable.
So, for people who don't know, our Twitter exploded.
On Monday.
On Monday. And I thought it was generally a very respectful conversation we were having.
Absolutely.
Some of the people that, like, kind of saw what was happening were not as respectful about the conversation.
You're pointing their fingers.
They freaking lost their mind. Well, we had that. We had people pointing their fingers. And then we had the other side saying, like, you're dumb, you know. It's a word that I don't want to say on the show. I want to keep it friendly, family friendly. But
when it gets to people attacking the guys who've watched our show since day one,
I know.
When I tried to put a stop to it.
I know.
But you know what?
But you did, like, shut it down. You're like, okay, we're done for the night.
Yeah, you know? That's all you got to do. You don't have to engage everybody.
Guys, we both said it's wrestling.
It's fiction.
It's fiction. Yeah. It's a TV show. You have good guys that act like bad guys. You have bad guys that act like good guys. There are predicaments. Mm-hmm. It's character depth. I think it's quite hypocritical for people to criticize that a good guy's acting a little off center when it comes to, like, his personality being good or bad.
Pepe Le Pew, man.
Because this is the character depth that people want when you write a TV show. Mm-hmm. Nobody writes good guys and bad guys. And one of the arguments was, well, when I started, the person I was disagreeing about, you know, calling Enzo a misogynist, and I'm like, yeah, so what? That's, dude, this is him. He's a weird dude. Mm-hmm. He's trying to hit on girls. He's trying to get laid. That's his character.
Right.
You know, he's this is who he is, and those people exist. I see those every day.
Absolutely.
In New York growing up in New York. The Enzos are out there, and it's funny, and people don't generally find, like, how dare you hit on me? nobody does that. Like, the guy is a character, right?
Right, exactly. And it's
wrestling. It's people beating each other up. Obviously, there's going to be some sort of machoism and misogyny. It's freaking pro wrestling.
Here's two things.
They're all horrible people.
Two things. Yeah. One, this is a cartoon. Enzo's a cartoon. Enzo is basically Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah.
If you think about it, right? And number two, and Pepe Le Pew's gross, you know? Like, number two, like, the big thing was kids are going to see this and adapt this behavior. The point I want to make with that is, one, if you're a parent, you're the one who teaches your kid what right from wrong, not the television. And number two, you're watching a show where people solve their problems with violence.
With violence, yeah.
And I think that for some reason is ignored.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, yes,
as opposed to, like, well, when I watch the show where people solve things with violence, I don't want the good guy acting a certain way. It doesn't make any sense. You know, that's like watching Game of Thrones and being like, why do they cut that guy's dick off, man? That makes me feel weird.
Yeah. Listen, I have my issues with wrestling. I don't really like the man on woman violence. I don't think there's really a place for it on TV. But some people,
it's
like,
okay, on Lucha Underground.
Some people, that's fine. Well, yeah. People love it. I can't get into the believable aspect of a 110-pound person, male or female, beating up this giant monster. So that's my own thing. But I'm not telling you that that is terrible and it sucks and you shouldn't like it. I'm not, you know, the fact that we want characters to have depth and everybody is good and everybody is bad. Mm-hmm. I have days that I say something that's horrible. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't pick that thing out and hyper focus in and say, well, this upset me so much that this is the problem and this is the issue and we're being mistreated and this sucks. Listen, it's a TV show. It's not the real person acting that way. It's a character that he is playing, and this is the character role that he has.
It's all written by community.
And it's written by a community. I don't think anybody's writing and saying, like, yeah, you know what?
Oh, yeah,
women, they're gross. Let's be gross to women. Nobody's writing it that way. We are writing a TV show. And in TV, there's depth in characters. One of the arguments was, this person says, well, I started watching wrestling in 2000, 2001, and the good guys didn't act like that. And I go, the good guys were 10 times as worse than they are today. The Dudleys would abuse women. The Rock literally went up to Lillian Garcia in a promo and said, "I'm going to perform Cunnilingus on you."
Repeatedly. And also,
yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, imagine if you're in office and then you had the cool, like the big exec in
Ric
the
Flair
office.
Would tell people, tell broads that, you know, mm-hmm. you want to write Space Mountain.
Yeah. That and then, well, The Rock talking about his quote-unquote people strudel.
I'm pretty sure
he's talking about his and how every woman who interviewed him, like, imagine if you go into an office and there's one dude who's just like insinuating, it's not an AC/DC song, yeah. you know, you can use like innuendo, and basically being like, you want to check out my salami? This is exactly what Rock's doing, you know, like, I have a big salami that you want to eat. I have a big strudel that you want to eat. The strudel is his penis. This was on television.
It was on TV. Bottom line is, I don't think this underlying issue that people think, and it's probably like 10 people, exists. And it was fascinating how our Twitter feed became this gigantic thing. And you know what? Majority of the people that we had the discussion with kind of backed down. They're like, you know what? I kind of see your point. Because I said, you know what? I get it if you're hypersensitive to something like this because of your own personal issues. But not everything is targeting you.
Something for everybody.
There's something for everybody.
Something for them.
Not everything has to be about you. Mm-hmm. I don't like everything. Listen, you watch great strong women character development on television. Yeah, there's a ton of it now, mm-hmm. and I think
but there's always been a ton
in the WWE. There's a ton, way more now, and that's mm-hmm. amazing that we're seeing that change. Yeah. Rather than being, you know, models in thongs on TV having a pillow fight, they're mm-hmm. actually having these unbelievable matches.
But when you think about it, that age in women's wrestling, women's wrestling was a very tiny period. Like, your 90s into the 2000s were really the only time where you had the bikini stuff.
Yeah.
Before that, it was like
serious
gorgeous
wrestling.
Ladies of wrestling,
yeah.
Moolah, like Alundra Blaze,
Japanese wrestling,
yeah. like all like all the Japan Joshi, women. All the Joshi wrestling, like all that stuff is like really nothing sexual.
It was a very small period of time.
The very small period of time that people just like that 90s Jerry Springer. Weirdo reality show, like, let's get babes
era,
you know, like HLA, let's do this stuff. That was a very, like, in the scope of wrestling, it was very tiny.
Isn't it so bizarre, though? Like, if you look back now, it's really weird. It's like a really weird part of professional wrestling that existed for a little bit.
It just went, women's wrestling went sideways in the 90s.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, this is an interesting topic because, like, as much as people think, Sunny was like the number one like diva who did that, I think it was Sable.
Sunny never got naked.
No, she never did.
She never got put on a thong. Like, rare. I can't remember a scenario. She was actually, Sunny was handled really well.
Yes.
And like they showed that there was something really special about Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch her, like, I've been watching a lot of those old Raws, and you see her. And she's not great at anything,
right?
Like, she's not a great manager, but there is something so special about her when you watch her. And I think that's what everybody saw.
She was very protected.
Very protected.
I think they saw her as the Playboy playmate that never took anything off.
Yeah.
Right. But then, you know, as popular as Sunny was, you all of a sudden, like, who's this guy's wife in Mark Mero's wife in Sable? Yeah. Where she's more over than him almost immediately.
Yeah, get naked.
And then all of a sudden it was like what was this thing called?
The grind.
And then like the hand on the, you know, and King enhancing it. Like, that was the start of that weirdo bikini era. And then on the other side of it, you had the Nitro girls.
That were wholesome.
Right.
They never got naked.
But they were all the male fantasy.
Yeah, they were the male fantasy. This speaks about my personality. Listen, mm-hmm. I'm not a prude. I'm not into women. This speaks about my. I'm not a prude by any means, but I like to compartmentalize certain situations. Like, sex mm-hmm. and wrestling don't go hand in. Like, I can't see pornography or any kind of nudity while I'm eating. I get grossed out.
Okay.
I want to puke. Like, I start gagging. It's like this big joke that Jess has.
Oh, let me eat this pasta and look at these boobs.
Yeah. I can't do it. I like to separate certain things that I enjoy in life, and wrestling and sex don't go together. I always was uncomfortable. See, you know what? Howard Stern, fucking love the guy.
Yeah.
I got to bleep that too. We got to be good. We're on iHeartRadio.
Suncast, come on.
Sorry, Suncast. I love Howard Stern, Mm-hmm. I was more into everything else that they did except for the sex stuff. Didn't really care for the sex stuff.
Okay.
It wasn't my deal.
All right.
My sex stuff should be my sex stuff.
Okay.
I don't want... tell him, Howard. Tell him, Robin.
But again, there's...
We got a bunch of girls in.
But again, this is the thing, that there's something for everybody. But in the 90s, like, it got, like, that whole Sable thing started a very interesting trend.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should explore that, because, you know, like, this kind of leads into, like, where we are now, where we've come so friggin' far.
Yeah.
But also on the other side of that, you had ECW.
Oh my God!
Where
yeah.
those poor women were getting battered and abused, like, left and right. But at the end of the day, like, Beulah had her head held, you know, like her head held high. Like, yeah. It was weird. ECW did it in a really bizarre way, where you didn't hate the women.
You know what? It was borderline porn.
It was borderline porn. Dawn Marie, Beulah. You know, like, Beulah was the wholesome.
Yeah.
And she would get clobbered.
She would get naked. They yeah. all got naked. Everybody.
Who else was in ECW?
Jazz, but yeah. Jazz didn't do the sex no. stuff. Beulah, Francine,
yeah,
and Dawn Marie, and then you had Trinity.
Yep.
You had Lita, Miss Congeniality, for right. a little bit. They didn't really do women that much. Yeah. They had like their three, and that was it.
So then after the Sable thing, you transitioned into the bikini model thing, and they brought over Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson.
Yes, that was really the beginning of
it. It was like the bombshell era yeah. of like wrestling valets. And then the more they got involved, it became like, how about this week you come out and do this? Because Stacey Keibler came out as her WCW gimmick.
Yeah, Miss Hancock.
Right.
And yes. look at this. Yeah, Miss Hancock.
Whose job was to come out and dance on a desk.
On a desk.
Right?
So freaking weird.
That's bizarre.
And you know what's even more uncomfortable? She was 18.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She was discovered... Where was she discovered?
She was a cheerleader for the Ravens.
No. She was discovered. No. You know who was discovered that way? Tori Wilson was discovered at like some. She was hired to wear a bikini, and she went to like the guys and asked them how it looked.
Uh-huh.
No, it was like a Hawaiian Tropics competition, and like the wrestlers were there, and Kevin Nash saw her and was like, "Oh no, you got to sign her."
The smart guy. All right, so you had Nitro Girl Search.
Nitro Girls, that's what it was.
So then you had that kind of transition to like, all right, we want you guys to do this, but we also kind of want you guys to do this. Can we capitalize on this? Can we yeah. capitalize on this?
Yeah.
And then you had all the bikini stuff. When Trish Stratus debuted, she was like...
She debuted her first gimmick. I saw her show up the first time on TV. She was a cheerleader. No, she was a motivational speaker mm-hmm. that insulted the crowd.
But then, like, when she did the TNA stuff, she was, like, the dirty one.
The dirty one, yeah.
With, you know, like, yeah. the hot tub promos, like, all that stuff.
So crazy.
Who ended up becoming one of the greatest women's champions of all time.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting, though? Looking in hindsight, though, mm-hmm. she is, and people get so mad, she is so not at the level of the women today.
Okay.
Lita, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love them. They had some great matches. They had that great Raw match. But they are nowhere near the level of worker that Charlotte is, that Bayley is, that Sasha is, that SmackDown.
Becky is.
Becky Lynch. I can't do these names. Too many names. Too much rattling in here. The thing about Trish is that she was terrible. Like, they put her on TV, and she was terrible, and she became this really decent worker. Mm-hmm. Asuka. Mickey James, way better worker than Trish ever was.
Yeah.
Mickey James, another great. You know what, though? They did that weird sex thing with her, too.
Well, they did like, that. They did it with everybody, because
she would wrestle in a thong and a short, ruffled skirt.
Mm-hmm. It got to, there's a weird crossover that happened, too.
Melina.
Before Melina, you had that also that weird, like, you had the ladies wrestlers, like Ivory and Jazz, Molly Holly.
Yeah, Molly, yeah.
Victoria.
Victoria, very good
who
worker.
All went along with the diva thing.
Yeah.
Right? So they were having these great matches, but at the same time, they were like, you know what? Braun panties match, 15 people, let's go. Bikini contest, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, let's capitalize on the sex sells. And then after that, it was more of the bikini model thing. You know, you had Candice Michelle.
Yeah.
You had Ashley Massaro.
All of them.
You had
they're not even
I
memorable.
Like Maria Kanellis. But she was in that era too.
Maria was in that era, and Maria, but you know what's interesting about Maria? she did the whole sex thing, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't hypersexualize her.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was weird. Like, they, Maria was handled really weird in that company. Now, I mean, she's not a terrible worker. Mm-hmm. Great manager.
And then the boss, the whole angle with Vince harassing all the women.
Oh, my God.
Friggin', oh, like...
Come sit on my lap.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Like, the one gif that keeps getting circulated with, what's her name's,
Oh, Stacey Keebler. Yeah, the legs. Like, yeah.
But then, like, I think the whole point of this, one, it's wrestling. It appeals to such a variety of people. And, yes, you have to... It sucks, but you have to appeal to that base male fantasy.
If that's what they were doing today, I could see a point where they're mistreating women in 2016 very... Like, it's weird now, you know, different times.
Weird now.
But we have made such great advances for the product as a whole.
In wrestling science.
I can't understand the argument that Enzo is this terrible character that's abusing. He's a piece of crap. Like, he's a cartoon of a human being.
Right.
And boys, children. First of all, I have a kid. Yeah. I got a daughter. I don't care if my kid is 5, 6 years old, loves wrestling. You know what? I'm not letting my kid watch wrestling as an institution for them.
Right.
I'm not. You know what? They want to get into it. That's great. I watched it. That's fine. But I'm not keeping my kid up at 10 o'clock at night on a school night on a freaking Monday to watch wrestling.
Right.
Sorry. Not going to happen. Daddy's watching a pay-per-view. Come and hang out with me if I'm watching it during the day. This whole thing about these people being role models for kids. You know who's a role model? People in your life.
Yeah.
You should look up to people in your life. Actual people. Not a character. Not Enzo Amore. And that is a parental issue. That is not a television show issue. That is a parental issue. Mm-hmm. And it's the parents' job to determine if Enzo is a good influence or not. And if you know what? I'm not going to criticize if a parent does that.
Yeah.
That's not in my business. But I know as a parent, I will never set these characters as inspirational things to be in life.
Well, that's another interesting point you're making, too.
Let me tell you, I don't care. I don't care if it's Sasha Banks. I don't care if it's Charlotte. Mm-hmm. These are not role models. These are characters on television. Mm-hmm. I have a big issue with that whole role model thing.
Well, I think there's multiple layers to it.
Enchante.
Like, one, you know, we've come a long way. Like you said, we've made many advances in wrestling science to bring us to 2016. The gray area is, yes, like, if you're sitting with your kids, you should say, like, hey, buddy, you know that's not
real,
right?
It's a TV show, yeah.
It's a TV show. This guy probably is, like, a good guy in real life or whatever. The role model thing, I think you shouldn't look up to the character. Look up to the person.
Look up to the person.
You know what I mean? Like, for example, I think the one that gets away with it is John Cena. Because he will inspire kids to always do the right thing and always be good and this and that, which is great, you know? Like,
But even he, you know, if we're breaking down characters, even he does that weird sex stuff every now and then, says something, or he does like a bad guy move.
Threw a little innuendo.
Listen, I never looked at Hulk Hogan and said, I want to be like this guy when I grow up.
No?
No.
You didn't want to be a 6'8 tan man?
I never want to be a hot dog. No. Maybe I never had a proper role model. Like, my father was my role model. I wanted to work hard like my dad. Like, that's a role model. My father provided for his family. He came to this country when he was, you know, 20.
Yeah.
And he built this family.
Yeah.
That's a role model to have.
Yeah.
You know, work hard and it pays off. That's your role model. I never looked at Michael Jordan and said, I want to be like this guy.
You don't want to be like Mike?
I didn't want to be like Mike. No, I want to be like Michael Jackson.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Still like, want to be like
this to kind of go pull this back in. When we overanalyze wrestling a little too much, and when we're pointing out
as a society
that Enzo's character should be a good guy because he's appealing to kids, you're looking at it a little wrong. You're looking at it through the eyes of you and your hangups in life.
It's also a microscope, because if you, again, this is storytelling, and if you look at the way modern storytelling is told across the board with regards to television, drama, movies, you don't have the Roy Rogers showing up as, you know, the cowboy all in white to save the day.
Yeah.
That age doesn't exist anymore. What you have is you have flawed characters, and the good guys are... The good guys get humanized by their flaws, right? Seth Rollins is a good example if you're going to go that deep into it. Seth Rollins didn't really tweak his character too much, still acts like a heel, except now he's got a chip on his shoulder because he got screwed by Triple H, right?
No, they're all assholes.
And, you know, how did Monday end?
They
trapped people in a cage.
They trapped people in a cage.
How did Sunday end? They threw people off a stage. You know, like that's your gray area right there. You know what I mean? And every good guy should have a gray area. You know, like not everybody's completely like pure. You know, except for John Cena, obviously.
Except for John Cena, apparently on TV. But I'll give it a great example, and we'll bring this back. I was reading this article about how Olivia Pope. Mm-hmm. is a great feminist role model for girls to show you could have all this power in life. Do you watch Scandal?
No.
Okay, I watch Scandal. So essentially the story is that Olivia Pope is this really brilliant attorney that has connections in Washington, and she's a cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
She's like Kenny Omega. she comes out mm-hmm. with a trench coat and wrestles people. She's like this cleaner where she handles, like she covers up a lot of scandals in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's this powerful character and really protected character, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's having affair after affair. She's banging the president. Her father is a murderer. She killed somebody. She was like, that is not a role model.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, Grey's Anatomy, strong female lead, banged a married dude.
Right.
You think, nobody's saying, would I look at that and say, you know what? It's not a good role model for my kid, because now my kid is going to look up and say, well, if you're a woman and you have success and you have power and you're this, you know, strong female in life,
mm-hmm.
it's okay to have affairs. No, it's a freaking TV show.
Right.
Enjoy it. Just watch it. They need plot. That's just how it works.
It's fiction. It's all fiction. If you can't delineate the line between reality and fiction, then maybe you shouldn't be watching TV and you should go to therapy.
Well, what's the storyline? I mean, even the same thing, like Spider-Man, right?
Mm-hmm.
People lost their minds that it was like a Puerto Rican Spider-Man.
What?
Oh, yeah. People lost their minds. Like, how could they do it? It's a freaking cartoon. It's a book.
Comic book.
It's a comic book.
That's it.
Just read it. If you don't like it anymore, guess what? You say, this isn't for me.
You know what, like, really is like, this is the thing that with regards to fiction or anything across the board, people don't know what they want at the end of the day. And it's upsetting because, you know, people use social media as a forum to just spout their nonsense at everybody. The big thing with that is, like, you know, comic book movies, TV shows that get turned into movies, et cetera. People will bandy up and people will complain like there's no diversity.
Yeah.
Right. There's no strong female leads. There's no gay man. There's no like gay leads. There's no none of this. Right.
We need more gay men. On TV.
And we need like this, that we need this. We need that.
Yeah.
And then a good example, like not to get too far off the point, but the new Spider-Man movie Homecoming is getting dumped on because it has a completely multicultural cast.
Yeah.
Rogue One got dumped on because it has a completely multicultural cast.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too much diversity. Oh, it's too much this. It's too much women empowerment. People don't know what they effing want.
They don't. No, no, no. People don't know what they want. It's,
who's your favorite female protagonist of all time
on TV?
Of anything.
Oh, that's a good question. My favorite female protagonist of all time has to be Peg from Married with Children.
Because that's secretly your dream. You want to sit on the couch and eat bonbons all day?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. You know what? I actually think Kerry Washington plays a great role.
Okay.
As Olivia Pope.
Okay.
I think that's a very well-developed character, and I generally enjoy watching her play the character.
Uh-huh.
But at one point, and we have to look at this. Like someone said, he goes, Kerry Washington is a role model. I don't know anything about Kerry Washington, so I have no clue who she is. I don't get invested in characters like that. I don't know. I that's a really good question, actually.
Rachel,
love her.
It's the hair. Ellen Ripley from Alien.
Interesting. Yeah, very strong.
An entire franchise was based on a strong woman.
Yeah.
Trying to the first one escaping, and then the second one trying to protect her daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have an entire franchise built around this strong woman.
I love
woman.
Veronica Mars.
Okay. Veronica Mars. That's a good one.
Yeah. I love Veronica Mars.
Samus Aran.
Yeah, another good one.
Also, didn't know Samus was a woman until like, I was much
did.
Older.
No, nobody did. Mary Tyler Moore. Viola Davis. Ginger Grant.
Ginger Grant.
All right, so let's bring this back to wrestling, Jesus. So long story short, guys, just enjoy it. You know, don't make this miserable for yourself and everybody else. It's a 2-second skit, and if you don't like it, mm-hmm. you know what? It goes away. There's so much other things happening
in the world too.
In the world too. Nobody's looking at Enzo Amore and saying, "Well, this guy's an asshole."
Mm. Mm.
There's so much worse, like way worse stuff happening.
Yes,
way worse. So. Well, let's pick our battles. All right, go ahead. Sorry, let's go.
That was
go
the first match of Roadblock. Cesaro and Sheamus beat the New Day. I thought that was a fun match. It was the perfect time to take the belts off the New Day. It was only a 10-minute match.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that was a 10-minute match. You're right.
Really weird, right?
Yeah.
Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman. I see this is a very interesting thing because I feel like a lot of people hate it. A lot of people liked it. I'm in the category of dudes that liked it.
Okay.
It didn't do anything to hurt Strowman, and it elevated Sami a little bit because he lasted with the monster. And I feel like, you know, people have been saying that Sami's kind of floating in the ether a little bit. This is he's going to have, I guarantee you, matches akin to the Foley Michaels matches where Sami ends up developing a mean streak.
Okay. I can see that.
You know,
I don't know what they're going to do with Sami, man. He's really lost in that shuffle on Raw. I know that the whole Braun thing is going to lead into something, but and they absolutely love Braun Strowman. So I don't know where it's going to lead to. I don't know what they're planning on doing. I hope that it leads to something good for Sami at the end.
I think it will. I think Sami's going to end up like holding that title at some point within the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, the U.S. title. You know? Rollins versus Jericho. Great match. Felt like the crowd wasn't into it.
You know what? The crowd died.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. What's up, man?
Are you leaving?
Just leaving the house.
He's
like
walking around like Junior Soprano, just shuffling his feet in the house in his robe. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I thought the crowd sucked,
mm-hmm.
and it was a very good match. It was exactly what you would get from these two, yeah. and they just died. The crowd was dead.
Rich Swann versus Brian Kendrick versus TJ Perkins.
I thought it was an okay match.
Okay.
It was okay. What did you think? Eh.
Neville.
That was it. Yeah, well... Neville is going to be this huge. Did you watch 205 Live?
No, I did not.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Neville's going to really change that entire division.
Neville as a heel is friggin' fantastic.
Love it. Was that Raw or was that the pay-per-view?
I think that was a pay-per-view.
Shit. I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah. And then Raw, he cut a promo.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I thought it was whatever. You know, it's leading into something bigger, so I'm fine with it.
But he's good. Like, I feel like Kendrick and Neville are the veterans in the... in the league, right?
Yes.
But I think it would, like, heel Neville will light a fire under everybody because arguably, you know, like, you kind of, when he was gone, you kind of forget how good he is and
Neville,
how
yeah.
dynamic he
yeah.
is, you know?
Well, I hope that this is a way to kind of, you know, he debuted and then they just had nothing.
Yeah. Then he got hurt.
And then he got hurt.
And then he got hurt again.
And now he's back. He looks great. He looks gigantic.
Yeah. I don't think that dude's 205 pounds, bro.
You know what? He's really short, so it's possible. He's like 5'6".
Yeah, but like he's...
So it's possible.
That's a thick dude right there, man.
Yeah.
Real thick.
Yeah, real thick.
Charlotte and Sasha.
I thought it was a very good match.
It was great.
I really enjoyed it.
It was great, apart from the weirdo tap out.
The weirdo
tap
out.
Somebody loves Charlotte. They're putting all their eggs in one basket with her as the top female heel in the entire company.
You know why? She's tall and blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Vince loves that.
Yeah.
Loves it.
She can work and she's tall and she can cut a promo.
Yep.
You know, that's larger than life. That's it. She's the Lady Kevin Nash in Vince's eyes.
Oh, yeah. Big sexy.
Yeah. They're going to start calling her Big Sexy.
Big Sexy.
They're going to call her Big Flary. And Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. Honestly, 23-minute match. Thought it was a great match.
I thought it was a very good match.
Mm-hmm.
I have a...
People taking a dump on Roman's work rate, that's very absurd.
No, I think he's a very good worker. I think the problem is, I think Kevin Owens and him. I don't like that dynamic. Personally, I feel like it's a weird dynamic between the two of them. I also think the confusion where Kevin Owens is a great heel.
Yeah.
And you dislike him because you like him because he's such a good heel. Mm-hmm. Not that he panders or he's turning, but right. he's such a good heel that you really generally like him. I don't necessarily think it works with Roman. Obviously, they're going to take the title off of him at some point. I don't know who it'll be. Will it be Roman? Will it be Seth Rollins? Mm-hmm. Maybe Jericho? That title picture is really good on Raw.
Has Jericho held the U.S. title?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. So, maybe take the U.S. title off of him.
Yeah.
And then put the Universal title on him. Mm-hmm. Do you think Jericho will get that Universal title? Do you think he'll ever hold another title like that?
I don't know. As much as I love Jericho, I feel like he doesn't need a belt. And unless there's...
You know what? He's never held it.
Unless...
He held it. Yeah, he had the WWE title.
Unless
yeah.
it's dire straits where there's another... Hopefully there's not like another injury epidemic.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I can see him taking that title.
I would actually love to see him as Universal Champion. I could just see those weirdo promos that he'll do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Really suck it in, man.
Suck it in, man. Yeah. I'm the king of the universe. Well, he's the first ever. I mean, you know what? You want to do it. He's the first ever undisputed champion.
Mm-hmm.
And he would probably be the first ever undisputed champion to hold the Universal title.
Yep.
Interesting.
Is Chris Jericho number three on the list of greatest of all time?
He's one of the greatest.
Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho.
You know what's amazing? My list constantly changes. And the older I get,
mm-hmm.
the more I am 100% in the fact that Shawn Michaels is the greatest of all time.
Yes, I'll agree
the
with
more
that
and yeah. more I think about it, and the older I get, mm-hmm. the more I appreciate Shawn Michaels because I could watch a match from 25 years ago, and it doesn't feel old
yep.
when you watch Michaels wrestle.
I'll agree with that.
Very smart wrestling style, and the fact that this man was so drugged out for that entirety of his championship run in the 90s just shows mm-hmm. what kind of caliber work this guy was.
He's like Popeye.
Oh, Mike, he is like Popeye. We pop a Percocet and just go through the
just
ring.
Just like sprinkle some spinach on
yeah.
him. Except in this case, it was pain pills.
And you think about, like, we always talk about the size difference sometimes when you watch mm-hmm. a wrestling match. Like, you had Taker and him in this unbelievable feud.
Yeah.
I mean, every match that these guys have had has been close to five-star match. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, any match, arguably. Honestly, even like the Joker matches of like that SummerSlam match with Hogan.
Oh, Hogan, yeah.
Oh, my God, where he sold the world, basically.
I know.
I could watch that match all day and just. Like this dude is like the champ, you know? Except when he had that Dutch boy haircut. That was weird. Do you remember that when he won the Elimination Chamber?
Oh yeah, he did have the Dutch boy. And then with the brown pants. Yeah. So go ahead.
I mean like the list is always changing, but I think what we talk about is longevity, career. You know, like Jericho is definitely in the conversation of greatest of all time.
Yeah.
The guys who are in the conversation who unfortunately did not have super long careers, Kurt Angle, WWE careers, I should say, you know,
Kurt Angle would have probably, I mean, just think about the matches Kurt Angle would have had.
Yeah.
You know,
but there's still a chance, you know, like he's up there.
One more.
Eddie Guerrero's up there.
Eddie Guerrero. You know what? I wouldn't say Eddie Guerrero greatest of all time.
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart, he's another one that you watch and you say, oh my God, this guy is so fluid mm-hmm. in the ring. Just every move. And every move is done knowing what the next three steps are. And that is the yeah. difference. Shawn Michaels, same way. I think Bret was more of a methodical wrestler than mm-hmm. Shawn.
Yeah.
But I think Bret's career, you know, that run in, if he was not hurt in 2001,
mm-hmm.
that run in 2002 when his contract expired would have been... great.
Yeah.
You know, because he would have came back.
I think so.
He would have came back. And you would have had that Shawn Michaels Bret Hart match.
You would have had that. You would have had Shawn Kurt Angle. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Bret Kurt Angle.
I guarantee you right now, if he came back in 2002,
mm-hmm.
Vince would have put the title on him.
I agree.
100%. Yeah. Would have put that title on him and give him a run.
And you would have had a lot of classic matches.
Flair and him. Undertaker, Bret at WrestleMania.
Lesnar.
Oh my God! I don't know if I want to see that.
I would have loved like Lesnar and
Young versus the Viking.
Young Lesnar versus Viking. Like an older Bret Hart would have been phenomenal.
Austin Bret
again.
Hunter Bret
would have been fantastic. Uh-huh. And I think you would have had let's say if he retired towards the end of the 2000s, like Shawn Michaels did, you would have had your one-off guaranteed Daniel Bryan Bret Hart match.
Daniel Bryan Bret Hart. You know what though? He's way older. Remember, mm-hmm. Bret is what 50? What? Let's see, Bret Hart.
I want to say he's 53.
I would say he's 56. 59, Jesus Christ.
Is he really?
Yeah, okay, so some of those fantasies won't happen.
Okay.
But it's good to think about it. By the way, Goldberg did not end his career. That's one of these weird myths. Goldberg did injure him, but Bret worked with mm-hmm. numerous concussions, and that is generally what ended his career.
Yeah.
The fact that he did work after that kick, by the way.
Yeah.
He worked that thing in Nitro.
But that kick also led to, like, I believe, like a stroke and a heart attack
later.
Or something. Yeah,
yeah, it led to the heart attack.
Which, I mean, like, that's very unfortunate. And it's like, you know what? Like, wrestling's so bizarre. And, like, you know, if you manage to make it, like, you make it through, but you can either die of an overdose or you can just get, like, look at the guys in the past few years who just, like, Bret Hart, Edge, Daniel Bryan, Christian.
The last, like, 15 years.
You know, like, guys who just can't do it anymore because their body gave up on them.
The Rock is the smartest dude.
You think so?
Yeah, smart dude.
Austin's
kept his brand.
Yeah.
Austin was done. I mean, Austin was done, like, mm-hmm. in, you know, when he broke his neck, he was done.
Yeah.
If it was any other time, you know, think about this. If these things were implemented, these rules that they have with the doctors, and, you know, they're way more strict now, rightfully so, we would have never had a Steve Austin run.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
That entire Austin run would not have existed because after that injury, he would not have come
well,
back.
Look at Mick Foley's career, too.
Foley also.
You know?
He would have never taken that dive. You know, it's interesting to look back now, and people praise the Attitude Era for these amazing moments, but the reality is, yeah, those great moments happened, but if the rules that they have in place today about concussions, mm-hmm. and I have had quite a few, they are not fun. And the long-term effect of a concussion stands with you for a while. The fact that these guys would get a concussion on a Sunday and work on a Monday is, I have no idea how.
It's really insane. Like, that's like, and this is not even like that long ago. Really, really crazy, like, thing to think about too is, like, one, Mick Foley showed up on Raw the day after Hell in a Cell.
Yeah,
and I believe he showed up on Raw the day after the 99 Rumble, where he took 29 chair shots.
Oh my God! Yeah,
to that. Imagine that, 29 chair shots on
a
pay-per-view.
You know what? That is actually I can watch everything with wrestling. Like, the people cringe with that Eddie Guerrero blood scene with JBL. Yeah. I could watch a lot of these things. I have a real difficult time watching that.
Same here.
Royal Rumble with those chair shots. It is. I watched Beyond the Mat recently, and it is just, I can't believe that this was okayed by everybody. The Rock was fine with it, and he was
obviously
fine.
Mick
with
was
it.
Fine
Mick
with
was
it.
Fine, fine. I mean, Mick did say later on that he took liberties and he gave him quite a few more than he had said he wants to do. But the fact that you were okay with taking like 8, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it just speaks.
29, dude.
No, he didn't take 29.
Yeah.
No, it couldn't have been
29.
Does everybody have the number?
Yes. 29.
Maybe throughout the match. Maybe throughout.
No,
the
throughout
match,
the match. Throughout the match, 29 chair shots.
God.
Really insane. Now, nothing.
Now, nothing.
Which is great.
Which, by the way, I have no problem with protected chair shots.
Yeah.
I have no problem putting your hand up and blocking it and looking, making it look impressive. Just, you don't, I it's all or nothing for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
For a weird way, like the blading, we had this discussion with somebody the other day, a wrestler.
How did you feel about Sasha?
Busted open.
Yeah.
I like that they did not stop it.
Yeah.
Really, if I think that helped with it.
I think they tried to avoid it with the camera up into a certain extent,
no,
and then
like
somebody
covered.
And then somebody made the call.
You know,
like,
what happened?
Just show it.
It was an accident.
It was a tooth, right? Or was
it
a nose?
I don't know what it was. It was the nose or the tooth. I don't know. Mm. But when in that overtime, pretty much she was on the floor, and Charlotte was on the floor, and Charlotte lifted her leg, and when she brought it down, she just hit her right in the face. That was it.
It was either her nose or one of her teeth
yeah.
got knocked out. You know.
What did you think of Raw?
I liked it. It was fun.
I like that. They're kind of building to what we're going to see with the next pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. I do think that we are in this weird situation that there are too many people in that upper, in that title position.
Why?
Because there's no focus, right? They all have their side angles, and then they're all, I feel like they're intertwining, but not the way that SmackDown is doing it. SmackDown is intertwining the mid-card with the upper card, and it's very fluid. I don't feel like on Raw, they have an idea as to who will be the champion.
Okay.
Or who should be the champion.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, if you're going back,
we know it's not going to be Seth, because it's going to be Seth and Hunter.
Yeah.
At Mania.
I don't think Kevin Owens is in that picture for Mania.
Jericho, Kevin Owens.
As like a grudge match.
As a grudge match.
Okay. Because, you know, they work backwards.
Yeah.
You know, so at the point where they started working backwards, I don't think they saw Kevin Owens as the champion.
I don't think anybody saw that happening. Remember, he was going to be down the line, but this was Finn Balor's position.
Imagine if we get Balor at 30, Balor winning, Balor Owens at Mania.
I still feel that Balor could show up, but he's still banged up.
Mm-hmm.
He's still not good at all. I mean, he could just do a run in and do something to set up an angle, not really work, but I don't think they want to really risk it.
I think your potential main event is going to be Balor Kevin Owens at Mania.
Huh.
But I feel like it's going to be the semi-main event.
Okay.
And your real main, not your real main event, but the show closer is either going to be whatever Undertaker match it is, or Cena for the 16th time.
Pattern, what is the card that they're saying? Because I've seen a couple, and I know of a couple, and I could tell you if it's real or not.
Mm.
Listen, I think at the end of the day, we talk about this all the time. There's so many major matches on this card. This is probably going to be a big card, because you're going to have Goldberg, Lesnar, you're going to have Undertaker, and Cena, Undertaker, and somebody. We have been saying it should be Taker, Cena, because it makes the most sense that they both have something on the line here.
Yep.
By the way, that whole Undertaker's back thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Just so you know.
Just so you know. Let's see what happens on Tuesday, because they had to put it on hold.
Yeah.
He's not getting better as quickly as he thought from the hip surgery. I saw the rumor. What is it? A reported card of Cena versus Taker, Goldberg versus Lesnar, Charlotte versus Bayley, Jericho versus Owens. So this is exactly what I think is going to happen and what I've heard.
Taker versus Muda. Love it.
Taker versus Muda. Love that.
They painted themselves in a corner with the whole biggest of all time, because now every year they have to top it.
Every year is the biggest of all time.
You can't deliver a mediocre show anymore. I think they learned their lesson with WrestleMania 27?
Which one was that?
The one where The Rock hosted.
Oh, with The Miz.
Yeah. I want to say, and that was
actually, that was a good match.
Cena and The Miz?
Yeah.
Overall, terrible Mania. But I think every year they're just like, we need to make this the biggest spectacle we can.
Except for the Taker match. That was it.
Yeah. So let's go for another. I think it's going to be a really good WrestleMania.
I'm excited for it, and I am excited to see what they do with AJ Styles.
He drops the belt to the Undertaker on
at
the Rumble.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of sense for them to do that.
Yeah.
Because then you have Taker. I would not put Taker's career on the line.
Right.
At Mania. I would have him retire. I would have him retire. I wouldn't have them allude that he's retiring. I would maybe put it on the line closer to Mania, but because you're still thinking, like, they don't want to get rid of Undertaker.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll keep the title. Maybe he'll keep the title. And Cena just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great if Cena's going for number 16 and this is it and he's not going to be able to do it. And then you could lead into a thing where if Cena does not win the title at insert event, he will never get another WWE title shot.
It's great.
Ever.
It's great booking.
So and this is Hunter, and then you incorporate Hunter in this, where he doesn't want Flair's record to be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up winning the Universal title, and they tell him, no, doesn't count. Sorry, bro. There's so much they could do. I want to see what they do with AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that AJ Styles Samoa Joe Mania thing, I have not heard that from anybody except for the rumor that was out, and I do not think that that's happening.
People want that, and people want
it's gonna happen.
Nakamura, AJ.
It's gonna happen.
It's all going to happen.
Dude, I just watched their match from Wrestle Kingdom last year. It's a great match.
Oh, yeah.
Really good match.
I don't think AJ put on a bad match when he was in NJPW.
Has AJ put on a bad match since coming to WWE?
No.
Not one.
Well,
I mean, that Ellsworth match. But,
wait for the Ziggler match.
But just wait. Well, you know what, though? I'm really curious how good that match is going to be. It may be like this blockbuster match.
Do you think AJ's the one to really make Ziggler a
non-snoozer? I don't think Dolph has bad matches.
No, he doesn't.
I just think there's no...
They're not interesting.
There's nothing behind it. there's nothing else behind it other than he's a good worker.
Yeah.
That's not his fault. I think it has to do a lot with the fact that they have told the story about him over and over and over and over again. And now it's time to, you know, elevate him. And they've done this 10,000 times.
Mm-hmm. Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin's getting elevated. Good for him. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about SmackDown before we wrap up because I want to touch on this. I thought SmackDown was a great example of creating a storyline that continues.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happened meant something. Everything happened for a reason. Everything leads into something. I was so happy. And by the way, it was not a great show. I don't think it was a great show. I think it was a good show, and it's consistently decent. SmackDown ratings went up by 300,000 people.
Which is fantastic.
2.65 million. That opening match was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, that was it. It was absolutely perfect.
How do you feel about him and Carmella?
I don't know what they're doing, but I'm really curious about that. Really curious.
It's very funny.
Really funny. Mm-hmm. He killed James Ellsworth.
Yeah.
I mean, he was stiff on him. He beat the shit out of him. It was everything it needed to be because it was AJ Styles saying, I'm not playing anymore.
All right,
you know what? You had your fun. Now I'm going to murder you.
Wrestling.
Yeah, I had your fun. Okay, I entertained you. You were puny. Now I'm going to end this. And he ended it. Mm-hmm. And it's done. Yeah. That's it.
That's he killed off.
That's the blow-off. That's how it should have been done. It's exactly what happened. Nobody wanted to see this competitive match between them. We got that a couple times. And because Dean Ambrose was helping out, and that was a story. Think about the story that they put in place for how many months?
Oh, yeah. It was great, man. Long-term storytelling.
They told the story that he's getting over on AJ Styles, and everybody's like, he just beat AJ Styles? That's crazy. That's so stupid. No, he beat him with assistance.
Mm-hmm.
He beat him because of Dean Ambrose.
Right.
He beat him because AJ Styles wasn't taking him serious. AJ Styles went into this, killed him, pinned him, not even with his finisher.
Yeah.
Killed him with like a chop to the head.
Just murdered him.
He murdered him. And then he killed him out on the outside. Do you know why they did that also? AJ's still hurt.
Oh, yeah. The ankle.
Yeah. Smart move.
The other interesting thing on SmackDown, too, is like I feel like, again, like this is long-term storytelling in a weird way where they took Dean out of the title picture kind of because they're doing something special with AJ down the line. Guaranteed. It's going to be Undertaker. Right?
Wait, for AJ?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be Undertaker.
Or Cena.
It's 100% Cena's involved. But I don't know what... No, Cena's they're doing those triple threat matches on the house shows when Cena comes back. So Dean is still there. Cena's still there.
Well, I think the Mania match the Rumble match is gonna be Dean versus Miz, just because of that whole
and Cena versus AJ
or Undertaker versus AJ or whatever. But I think you're moving. I think Dean's gonna be in the IC title hunt for a little bit because of the Miz promo with Renee.
Very good.
Right.
By the way,
that was a good SmackDown.
Very,
too.
Very good. First of all, SmackDown was, just great with those promos.
Yeah.
Whoever's writing these lines, you're doing a good job. That Natty promo, great.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I want to talk about Renee's slap to The Miz.
Okay, talk about it.
Because I feel like, I think that's the first time she ever got physical in the ring.
Very good.
And for the first time forever, like, just smacking a dude. And Miz is probably the easiest dude to smack on that roster.
Oh, yeah.
He's got, like, a good smackable face.
Yeah, later,
she did
dude.
Such a great job, you know?
Show? It was so unexpected, too.
Yep, exactly.
Nobody saw it coming.
Yep.
Nobody saw it coming. I thought the SmackDown crowd was great. They loved it. And guess what? A two-hour show. Everything was fine.
Yep.
Baron Corbin getting elevated. Mm-hmm. Luke Harper was in a title, you know, in that there title run last week. So... they're moving, and again,
a lot of these big men.
Ryan Ward, the head writer, this guy's super talented, but at the end of the day, Vince is still okaying stuff.
Absolutely.
So he's still writing good TV, and I think when he sees that the ratings are up by 300,000 for a card that did not have AJ Styles in the main event, for a card that has pretty much nobody Dolph Ziggler as a number one contender for the title.
Yeah.
You really don't have a serious competitor for the title right now. It's showing something is happening on that SmackDown side that's a little bit different than
Absolutely.
Raw, and it's working. Next week, possible Taker return.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena returns.
Mm-hmm.
Main event, right? That the Dolph and AJ match.
Mm-hmm.
And we also will see that, what do they keep calling it? The wild card.
Yeah.
Gonna get the wild card.
It's gonna be fun, man.
A lot of fun.
Good time.
Yeah. Are you hanging out? What are you going
to
do?
I will see. I got to make a quick adjustment, maybe. An attitude adjustment.
Yeah. Guys, go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Next week is our year in review show. Maybe we could go a little long next week. We're going to talk about the best stuff and the worst stuff that is happening in pro wrestling. Guys, also, go to our website. Subscribe to the podcast. This is very important that you guys subscribe to the podcast. There is a lot going on and very, very cool stuff along the way. Very, very cool stuff coming. I want to thank our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Stay Roasted. Also support our Patreon page. Do that. Fund us. Patreon.com/MadMan Podcast. We have a lot going on this year. And we'll see y'all next week. I got to go rest, man. I feel... I need a hot toddy.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
I'll give you a hot toddy.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you later.